Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Across from me, Dr. Tony Weaver. You hear him on our program, Health Matters, weekends here at MSPR. And Tony, as always, joins us occasionally to talk about key medical issues that he's concerned about and we should all be concerned about. And we have some good times doing that. But Tony, welcome back to The Front Page.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right. What do we got on the table today?
Well, there has been some new information about screening for lung cancer, so I thought we ought to talk some about Kentucky's absolutely dismal survival rates and incidence rates of lung cancer, and I think we can do something about this if we all work together.
Kentucky, I guess, is the leader or one of the leaders in the United States in lung cancer?
Oh, we're definitely the leader, and unfortunately the leader by a wide margin. The other thing you've got to realize is that lung cancer is not distributed evenly across the state. This, to me, is one of the bigger mysteries of lung cancer in Kentucky. Every county in the state of Kentucky has a higher rate of lung cancer than the national average. But within the state, there are some that have incidence rates twice the rate of other counties. Those counties, the majority of them, seem to be in eastern Kentucky. So we're doing something particularly wrong here in eastern Kentucky. Kentucky leads the nation, but if you carved off eastern Kentucky, the difference would be so much different, be so much greater than the rest of the state.
Any theories on as to why?
Well, it's hard to get at it. We think that smoking causes about 90% of lung cancer. So your first thought is, well, maybe people in eastern Kentucky smoke more than people in western Kentucky or central Kentucky. It's not obvious why that should be. Our smoking data comes from something called the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Study. They just call people. They say, did you smoke in the last month? And if you say yes, then that goes to your rate of smoking. What if people in eastern Kentucky, first of all, they may be more honest. We have higher rates of smoking here in eastern Kentucky. Maybe the people in the central part of the state don't want to tell the telephone that they smoke. The other thing that I've wondered about, I've seen this in my practice, some people start smoking at very, very young ages.
Still, and that's what surprises me.
Yeah, come sit in your daddy's lap and start a cigarette for him, and then these kids are smoking regularly in elementary school. Now, there's not any scientific research on what happens if you smoke in elementary school. It's unethical to do that research, and so we don't know. Maybe we're starting earlier in eastern Kentucky. Maybe we're smoking more, or maybe there's something else. And obviously, we need to attack it from, I think, all those possibilities, trying to get to our lung cancer rates down.
People remember, and they may know this already, in the sense that tobacco in Kentucky had been a major cash crop, and for some people it still is. I was out the other day driving, as a matter of fact, saw some tobacco fields, and I hadn't seen any for a while, and I know that there are various parts of the state where you find it more, and because tobacco is such an important crop to Kentucky, I guess you find maybe that affection for tobacco that you wouldn't find in other places.
Yeah, just a 30-second history lesson. I came here in 1986, and at that time it was legal for my 2-year-old daughter to buy cigarettes. You remember, Chuck, and I remember in high school in the state of Kentucky, kids had a designated smoking area where the freshmen in high school could go out and smoke with the faculty and the football quarterback and all the other people, their heroes. So, some of the school districts would not allow you to smoke unless you had perfect attendance. Smoking was a reward for perfect attendance in some school districts. That's where we started in the 1980s. When the tobacco industry in Kentucky collapsed, we have a bunch of tobacco warehouses now that are being converted over. You see barns falling and decaying everywhere because as you mentioned, tobacco is no longer carries the clout it used to. The legislature, that opened up the possibility of these smoking bans that we've got in communities, and we're even discussing a statewide smoking ban. And if ever there's a state that needed this, you know, again, we are losing almost 3,500 people every year in the state of Kentucky to lung cancer. We've got, you know, that means it takes us about 9 months to do a World Trade Center. Hurricane Katrina, we knock off in 6 months, losing thousands of Kentuckians every year to lung cancer. So we need that smoking ban, for one thing, and we actually have a possibility because of the changes in the tobacco market in the state.
How long do you think it will take, though, Tony? I know that some cities are still mulling over smoking bans, and I know there's been proposals for a statewide smoking ban in public facilities, and I'm not talking about governmental facilities, all public facilities. But at the same time, how long do you think, in your mind, and I'm asking you to predict the future, before these smoking bans start to take hold and there's some impact and you find less cases of lung cancer because these smoking bans are helping?
The rate of effect on heart attacks apparently is immediate, according to the literature that we have. That is, if you enact a smoking ban, your community's rate of heart attack drops within a year, measurably. The science is really bad on that. I'm frustrated by that. But in city after city, country after country, they have seen drops in their heart attack rates after smoking bans. Lung cancer, if we understand lung cancer, it should take over a decade to see those drops. So we are just now starting to see a dropping off in our incidence rates of lung cancer due to some of the changes in the smoking habits that occurred in the 1990s.
Have there been determinations made in terms of, when we talk about lung cancer, cases caused by people who actually smoke and then, say, people who are impacted by secondhand smoke?
We believe that secondhand smoke causes lung cancer. How many cigarettes have you been exposed to in your lifetime?
Oh, thousands, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, have I been exposed to more cigarettes than you? I have no idea. I would not even know how to begin to measure that. So without being able to make good measurements, it's really difficult. But we have taken in shorter-term studies, we've said, all right, let's measure the amount of nicotine in my system as a non-smoker if I live with a smoker, and we can get some information from that. And again, the information seems to indicate that cigarette smoking not only affects your health, but the health of those around you. And it makes common sense. If you've got something toxic, and everybody in the room is exposed to that toxic thing, there's no reason to think that some people would not have an effect from it. If you spray insecticides around the room, you spray DDT around the room, everybody's going to be exposed to the DDT. Smoke is not a one-way thing. So if we believe that smokers are affected, certainly we believe that the people next to them will be affected by the same stuff.
These surveys that are taken when they call and ask people if they smoked or they don't smoke or whatever, do they ever talk to them about secondhand smoke in the sense, or they ask people, how long have you been smoking and what age did you start?
Actually, the what age did you start, I'm not aware of any survey that has reported that out, saying this is the effect of an earlier start versus a later start. We do talk about something called pack years. If you smoke a pack a day for 30 years, that's 30 pack years. And we know as the pack years add up, you are more likely to develop lung cancer. So we have that. But as far as determining when you started, that's two different questions, you see. I mean, did you start before puberty or have you been smoking for 30 years is a different thing. And what we've done is pack years. We've not really looked at what happens when elementary school kids smoke. That bothers me some. What we have done, though, is tried to figure out, could we do something to screen for lung cancer? Now I want to make sure that your listeners understand there are two separate issues here. One is we really need a statewide smoking ban. More Kentuckians die of lung cancer and cigarette-related illnesses than any other state in the country. We are slaughtering our citizens at ungodly rates. You know, again, you look at this is just lung cancer alone, 3,500 a year. And look at this, traffic accidents, we get upset about that. That's 670 or so, around 700. The drug epidemic we had, prescription drugs, we were losing about 1,000, about 900 Kentuckians a year to that. And then when you talk about 3,500, you realize this is just far and away the leading single killer of Kentuckians in my mind. I can't think of any single disease that takes more Kentuckians. If you lump heart disease together, yeah, but that is a lot of people dying, and we need to take action. One, we need to get this smoking ban in place. Two, if there is a way to pick up these lung cancers early, we need to do that. And there is some new scientific information that indicates that we could. Do you remember 5440 or FIGHT? That was the famous, I think that was when we drew the northern boundary of Oregon and Washington versus Canada, and we were fighting with the British about that. 5440 or FIGHT. I want people to remember 5574 or screen. If you are between ages 55 and 74 and you have smoked 30 pack years, that is a pack a day for 30 years or more, you are the person we want to target for lung cancer screening. There was a national study of 50,000 people that targeted just those people and found that they could cut their rate of dying of lung cancer by 20%. They could cut their rate of dying of all causes by around 6%. So this really did work, and it did not more of them died in surgery or things like that.
We talk about Eastern Kentucky being an area where there are more cases of lung cancer, and I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact that this is an area that's very medically underserved. The nutrition perhaps is not as good because it's a poorer area, and people have a tendency to eat things that aren't as good for them in these types of places, and I'm wondering if these are contributing factors in some ways.
Well, and some people think the narrow valleys here contribute. You know, after all, the sun rises at 10 and sets at 2, then you're not getting a lot of sunshine. You may not be getting as much vitamin D. You add to it the nutritional woes you mentioned. Perhaps we're not doing a good job in maintaining our body's immune system and our ability to fight off cancer. There is a researcher at UK named Suzanne Arnold, and she's looking at just that. When you are diagnosed with lung cancer and you go on the Kentucky Cancer Registry, they have a group of researchers that will ask you, could they come to your house, sample the dust from your door, take some toenail clippings and blood samples, and send those off to try to figure out what is different about the people that develop lung cancer. So it may be that we'll know. I think there's got to be some environmental factors as well, because all these high-risk counties are clustered in southeastern Kentucky. We don't know all the effects of mountaintop removal, but there is some concern that may be the pollution that engenders may make a difference. I'm not saying it does. We just simply don't know. We're not don't have the ability to study that right now. But you think maybe it's something environmental. I don't think that it is innate to being in the mountains. I think that we are either doing something to the environment or doing something to ourselves that is increasing our risk. And you can't get around the fact we do smoke a lot here in eastern Kentucky.
Still surprising to me, and I can look back at the 1960s when I was watching television as a small kid, and commercials would come on the air of, don't smoke, it's bad for you. And here are these little ads on the side of cigarette packs that say smoking can cause lung cancer. I mean, we've got enough information out, and it's been out for years, that we should have figured out by now that smoking is not something that will keep you healthy. It's something that can kill you.
Yeah, but when you talk mortality to teenagers,
well, they're immortal.
Yeah, you know that. And so in that case, most people who start smoking do not plan on continuing it. And yet it is an addictive substance, and people wind up falling into that trap. So unfortunately, we can't get the message out fast enough. Keep in mind also, there are billions of dollars being spent to try to counter that message with a message that cigarettes are extremely cool and everybody's doing it, and exciting young people who are sophisticated are doing it. And people who are rebels are doing it. You know, after all these know-it-all experts are telling you not to, but you know better than them.
Well, it's kind of back in junior high. You remember that? There's that little cluster of kids on the corner. And said, look at Bob. He smokes.
So you don't target 30- and 40-year-olds who are reading the editorial page and trying to figure out how to plan their retirement. What you do is you target these teenagers. And in that case, the mortality messages don't work well. As a matter of fact, a lot of experts feel the best way to target teenagers is tell them it makes your breath bad and makes you unkissable. That may be more important than it gives you lung cancer.
Yeah, it makes you smell bad too.
Yeah, because that's an immediate effect, and it might affect your ability to date women, which is, after all, that would drive pretty much anything.
Well, and I will say this, the first girl that I dated in college, I didn't realize it, but first date we went on, she smoked. The goodnight kiss was not what I'd hoped it was going to be. So I'm going to say that there is a lot of truth to what you're saying, Tony.
And
as
you're hearing
usually
that
is.
From Chuck Mraz, a hero of today's youth, realizing that if this affects Chuck, then certainly it's going to affect many of today's youth as well. I never dated a smoker.
She was the only one I ever dated.
Okay. Because I don't know. I did have quite a few smokers in the family, but I was pretty militant even in high school. Had a little asthma and didn't do it. So that's what I know.
Yeah, well, as soon as I had that experience, that was the first and only for me, and I moved on, and that was actually one of my criteria. I would not date a smoker.
There you go.
So,
if you want to keep this in mind, young women radio fans, if you want to date a radio talk show host, a heroic type figure,
or even me,
then best to kick the smoking habit. So we've got to find those messages to get to young people. We've got to make it harder to smoke in public, and then we've got to attack the smoking problem. One of the other problems that sort of goes into that, Chuck, is that most people feel like, well, lung cancer, that's stupid. You brought it on yourself. Why should we be screening at all? Why should we spend money on people? What we need to do is just to convince everybody to stop smoking. There are a lot of diseases like that. You know, you say, well, why should we be doing surgery for people who are obese? They just need to be more disciplined. Why should we do knee surgery on people who weigh a lot? They ruin their knees anyway. They just ruin the fake prosthetic knees that we put in. Why should we screen for lung cancer smokers? The simple message is, look, be thin, be healthy, and don't smoke. It's interesting that society is pretty judgmental with that. You know, we could say the same thing. Well, why should we be taking care of skiing injuries? Those skiers knew that they were going to get injured.
Or ball players who wreck their knees.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So you wind up saying, my value system's important. I will do those things, and I expect the healthcare system to take care of me. But these other people, they're being silly.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Dr. Tony Weaver. Listen to him this weekend on Health Matters on MSPR. We'll go ahead and pause on Front Page. Come back with more right after this.
This is Robert Siegel from NPR's afternoon news program, All Things Considered. There is a constant stream of information coming at you through the day, online, over the air, by word of mouth. At All Things Considered, we try to figure out what it means, why it happened, and how it will affect you. Join us every weekday afternoon, won't you? It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday afternoons at 5 o'clock on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, we're talking with our host of Health Matters, Dr. Tony Weaver, on the show today as we talk about lung cancer being one of the topics, is the topic for today. And it's kind of a fascinating topic because we've been talking about smoking in relation to lung cancer. And the one thing, Tony, is that you never hear anybody talk about maybe other possible causes of lung cancer besides smoking. Obviously, there has to be.
There has to be something that promotes it. And to be honest, I don't have a good handle on that. It's so hard to tease it out because, again, we talked about the secondhand smoke, how much secondhand smoke you've been exposed to. We can't measure that sort of thing. Everybody is aware of radon. You would consider radon to be the second most common cause of, or third most behind firsthand and secondhand smoke, cause of lung cancer. The radon maps I've seen in Kentucky don't bear that out. What I'm told by the guys at UK is those are just, they're bad maps. Right now, the highest level of radon in Kentucky is over the central part of the state, which is where the lowest level of lung cancer is. Now, I grew up in that karst area. We have about 4 sinkholes on our farm, and there was an underground river that ran right under my house. So I pretty much, you know, I always thought, well, that must be a high radon area. Gee, the whole land around there is Swiss cheese, and so you'd expect that radon to leak up. In fact, according to the people of the UK, Eastern Kentucky has high radon levels as well, although the maps don't show that. Radon, the link between radon and lung cancer came from the uranium pit miners. Those guys got lung cancer even if they didn't have even if they didn't smoke, because they were down in a uranium pit and they got high doses or levels of radon. I have not seen anything that I felt was credible as far as what happens if you smoke in your basement versus you go up to the attic to smoke, what happens if your house is mostly underground versus on top of the ground. But there is, they feel there is that link. We're still trying to figure out the other determinants, though. Until we do, you know we got to work on the smoking, and we know we got to work on the screening. One more time for your listeners, a smoker age 55 to 75 who has smoked more than 30 pack years, pack a day for 30 years or more, is an ideal target for lung cancer screening. The national study, which was actually not done in Kentucky, showed a 20% reduction in risk of dying of lung cancer if they screen them with a CAT scan, with a CT scan, the kind of thing you can get at just about any hospital in the region. We did a study called the Marty Dreisler Project where we added people who had signs of emphysema on their lung function test, and we actually had higher rates of finding lung cancer with that. So I think that especially if you've got a 30-pack-year smoker, 55 to 75 years old, who has some underlying emphysema, those are people that it would be a very nice idea to screen them once a year with a CAT scan to look for lung cancer.
Do you believe that raising the cigarette tax again here in Kentucky might help in terms of getting people to stop smoking because the cost of cigarettes will be prohibitive in the sense that just be too expensive for some people, especially young people?
Yeah, the people who are addicted, they find their own way. And one of their own ways is to roll their own, you know, to grow some tobacco and roll your own and just avoid the tax entirely. The area we can really help with those cigarette taxes is teenagers who might take it up. No teenager is going to start raising tobacco so they can learn how to smoke. But once they get
hooked
on cigarettes.
They're not that highly motivated, for one thing.
No, but I do think that if we could get the price up, we could stop people from starting smoking, which could be really good.
And then maybe you take the profits and you use that to help take care of some of the people that have been victims of smoking and they have lung cancer.
Well, when we first, when the states first sued the tobacco companies, there was a fairly large amount of money that came into the state of Kentucky that was supposed to be earmarked for medical care. But you know how things get diverted. It's only a small fraction of it actually goes to prevention and care for people who have the effects of cigarette smoking.
Well, Eastern Kentucky, you mentioned, it has the highest rate of smoking. How does the rest of the state fare in comparison?
The rates in Eastern Kentucky, just again, just to kind of ballparking it, can be anywhere from 10 to 30% higher than the rest of the state. Now, again, every county, every part of the state is higher than the national average, but our rates, the rate of smoking actually is double from some counties to others in the state of Kentucky for no obvious reason. Again, it may be just bad data. The rates of lung cancer are substantially higher for that block of Eastern Kentucky counties. Every county in Eastern Kentucky is higher than the central Kentucky counties.
Are there certain parts of Kentucky where, well, I want to say, are better in terms of smoking? I'm guessing maybe central Kentucky, maybe northern Kentucky?
Yeah, northern Kentucky not, because they haven't had any smoking bans. And you know yourself, Covington is sometimes called the ashtray of Cincinnati. Pretty heavy smoking rates up there. If you look at Lexington particularly, and Louisville to some extent, they have lower rates of lung cancer. Lexington, the first city in the state to have a citywide smoking ban.
No smoking in bars and restaurants, I thought, was a big move, because there were a lot of people that could not eat without having a cigarette afterwards. And there are a lot of places where, you know, you couldn't have a drink without having a cigarette or a cigar with that.
The initial, when we first cleared domestic airline flights, the people that brought the suit that caused that clearance were actually the people we called stewardess, or we call them flight attendants now. They worked in a smoky environment. So you can't say, well, this is a place where people like to smoke. That's not the point. If a worker has to go in there as a part of their job, to work every day, then they're exposed to secondhand smoke and a higher rate of lung cancer. So this is for, as far as restaurants go, Chuck, you know, this is for our teenagers that get part-time jobs in the fast food industry. We have to protect these people. So if you are in a town and within our listing area and your town does not have a smoking ban, you are not doing well by your kids.
I always got a kick out of the fact you'd go into maybe a fast food restaurant, they'd have a non-smoking section and a smoking section. They'd be right next to one another. There's no barrier in between them. Smoke doesn't understand signs, basically. That was a joke.
Yeah, the air purification systems that it would take to actually enforce those. Let's say even there's a physical barrier, but if you use the same air system, you're still going to get mixing of the smoke. And again, this stuff is toxic. You know, you can say, all right, I'm going to spray insecticide on tables 1 through 3, but you can sit at table 4 while I do it. I don't think anybody would take you up on that.
I don't think so. Well, we've got, looks like, about a minute 15 or so left. Maybe some other thoughts?
Yeah. If you look at the number of people who die of various cancers in the state, again, 600 die of breast cancer in Kentucky every year, 880 of colon cancer, 392 of prostate cancer, cervical cancer. You know, it's actually a very, very screenable disease, and only 68 Kentuckians died per year of cervical cancer. Lung cancer, nearly 3,500. If we can screen for lung cancer, if we do that one thing, we can save as many lives as screening for all the other types of screenable cancers in the state.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that those who've been through lung cancer would probably be the best advocates for smoking bans and things of that nature, because it is a horrible experience. I've known some people who've gone through it.
Unfortunately, they don't live. That's the difference. There are no lung cancer survivors to walk for Relay for Life and to advocate. Lung cancer is a deadly disease. 5-year survival rate, less than 16%.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, Tony, as always, we appreciate you coming over and passing on some very valuable information.
Thanks, Chuck.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Dr. Tony Weaver. Listen to him here, right here on Morehead State Public Radio on weekends on his program, Health Matters. I'm the host of the Front Page, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.